Welcome to A Burning Fire. This is your speaker, Jim Boyd. I want us to spend some time in the study of music in Christian worship. Now, we want to know what the truth of the Bible teaches on this subject, because there's much disagreement over the subject. It has caused religious division. We seek unity, but we seek unity that's based upon the truth. Now, we hear people say sometimes that the churches of Christ don't have music in their worship. Friend, that's not true. We have singing every time we worship. That's music. And this lesson involves some of the basic and fundamental principles in coming to a knowledge of the Word of God. We study these principles about music and worship, and it's a study that's applicable to almost every religious question. You know, the truth is often buried beneath the misrepresentations of people and false doctrines and false charges and accusations that are made by denominational clergymen who speak more from ignorance than from information. Now, we approach the subject not belligerently, not in a hostile fashion. We don't have that attitude toward those who differ with our conclusions. But we do make this challenge. If you do not believe the things that I'm going to bring out to you, do you not feel obligated to take the Bible and to show that they're not true, and to take the Bible to show that what you do differently is true? Or do you simply have the right to dismiss what we have to say and go on your own way? Well, that's what most do. Well, now, what are you going to do? Now, we're talking about worship, not just any worship. We mean the worship unto God that is to characterize those who follow Christ. Worship, of course, is homage paid. It's a service that's rendered. There are certain acts that are performed with the intent to praise the God of heaven and to glorify His name among men. We're talking about worship here on this earth, now. That's done by Christians. We're not talking about worship that might be done by the Buddhist or the Mohammedans or the Shintoist or those who follow Judaism or denominationalism or any of those other unbiblical things. And we're talking about this in the Christian age, not the patriarchal age of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're not talking about the time of the Mosaic Age of the Israelites under the law of Moses. And we're not talking about that which may or may not take place in heaven. And I just simply mention that because sometimes people try to point out there's the instrumental music in heaven and they want to have it here on earth. Well, we're not talking about that kind of worship. We're talking about worship that is in this age by the Christian, now by the authority of God. And we're not just simply discussing music generally. There's music for a lot of other occasions. There's music for entertainment. People have music at weddings. People have music at funerals. People have music for social events. We're not talking about that. We're talking about music in Christian worship. Now, let's understand that, because if we don't understand that, we're going to be completely confused. We're talking about worship to God by the authority of Jesus Christ. Whether that worship is offered in the assembly of the church, or whether it's at home, or whether it's in a rented hall, or beside the lake, or wherever it might be. And it's not a matter that is affected by when that worship is offered, whether it's on Sunday morning or Thursday afternoon. And what is right in one place and what is right in one time is right for every other place and time in the matter of music in Christian worship. Likewise, what ought to be done in one place ought not be done in one place, ought not be done in any other place. What ought not be done at one time ought not be done at any time. Of course, that is the exception of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, which is exclusively to be observed every first day of the week. That's what Scripture teaches. But we're talking about music in Christian worship by anybody any time. Furthermore, it matters not whether it's offered by one or by 1,000, one time or altogether. We're talking about music that's acceptable to God in worship according to the authority of Christ, regardless of when or where or how many or other variables. Now, we note to you John chapter 4 that we have read in previous lessons. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, friend, Jesus' passages here teaches us that the object of our worship and certain rules, God is the Father, and he is the object of our worship. As he said in Matthew 4, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." To worship in spirit, that has to do with the mind, with the attitude, with our disposition, with our intent, with our motive. It is to worship worthily. Reverence is essential in worship. The motive to serve God and to show forth his praise, that's the goal. The manner of our conduct is to be in keeping with the seriousness and with the solemnity involved in worshiping God. For this reason, worshipers should not be flippant or have a flighty attitude manifested when we're worshiping. Worship involves the heart of man. And friend, listen to this. To worship in truth, it means to worship as the truth tells us to worship. Let's understand. God has not left it up to me and to you to decide how to worship God. Jesus prayed to the Father, "Thy word is truth," and we're to worship him in truth. To worship in truth means to worship according to the specifications that are taught in the Word of God. If one worships another way, he is worshiping outside of the authority of Jesus Christ. Man is not left to decide what we are to do to perform the proper acts that we might think is best and according to what we or some others might like. We are to do those things as God has directed us, and he has designed worship. And the very essence of worship includes submission to his will and to the will of the one that's being worshiped. Therefore, we must search the scriptures and learn what God wants us to do, what he authorizes us to do in order to worship him acceptably. Now, we see that we're to perform the right acts with the right intent and the right motive. And it takes both for our worship to be acceptable. We may have a good motive, but perform the wrong acts and do things not authorized, and therefore make our worship displeasing. Or we may do the right acts, but have the wrong motives and an irreverent attitude and manner, and that would nullify the acceptability of our worship. Now, we do not search some creed book or discipline or manual or catechism or any such human document to learn what God wants. We do not come together to discuss the matter and then vote on what we like and follow the majority. Peter said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." So we ask now, what do the scriptures teach about music in Christian worship? Listen to me, friend. There are now 9 references in the New Testament that mention music in Christian worship. Now, 2 of these 9 actually refer to a time prior to the beginning of the church and the New Covenant, and I am including these because they're in the New Testament, like Matthew 26 and verse 30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Mark 14:26 reads the same thing. Now, in Acts 16 and verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." In Romans 15 and verse 9, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, and it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." In 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Hebrews 2 and verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. In James 5 and verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Friend, I have read to you every passage of Scripture in the New Testament that has to do with music and Christian worship. These are the verses of Scripture that tell us how to offer music and worship unto God by the authority of Jesus Christ and under His covenant. And I want you to please note this, and this is important. Without exception, it is to sing. Every single time it is to sing. We are authorized to sing. We're commanded to sing. That's what is given in every single passage in the New Testament that speaks of music in Christian worship. Now, if we will speak as the oracles of God, we will sing. We will not try to add to it the instruments of music that men might like and men might want, because when we do that, we're doing something by the authority of someone other than Jesus Christ. There's no doubt as to the kind of music that God approves and that God authorizes. Every passage is specific. Every passage teaches singing. There are no exceptions to that. Now, if you think you can find an exception in where you can find your piano and your organ and your fiddle and your banjo and your drums, please present that passage of Scripture to us, because it's not to be found in the covenant of Jesus Christ. We are interested in worshiping in truth, and truth is authorized singing, and therefore I can know, and you can be just as assured, that when we sing, we are doing what God has authorized us to do in worship of Him in the Christian age. Now, we're talking about the Christian age. We're not talking about the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We're not talking about the time of Moses. We're talking about the here and now, the time that we live, the time that we serve God. And what has He said? I hope that Scripture means something to you. I hope you're willing to confine yourself to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I want us to understand that when we go into our next lesson, there are only two kinds of music. Some that are produced by mechanical instruments, and some that are produced by the human vocal cords. What did God authorize? Is there any question in anybody's mind as to what we found in the New Testament? Does He not say to sing? Did they not sing in the New Testament? Isn't that what we confine ourselves to do and do rightly? Well, we'll talk about this some more. Remember to fear God and keep His commandments. This is a burning fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.